Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
There are like 65 people here. They're going to see me and not Joey. And it just like slowly. It's like, how are there negative people now? So many people left without a negative?
They actually like left the Patreon. They Riverside unsubscribed.
Like Riverside actually just shutters its doors.
We actually went bankrupt. Welcome to your True Crime Rundown. It is Monday night. You all, Joey is no longer with us. He's not dead, but I don't know where he is. He sent a very cryptic text and that was it. But guess who's here? Harris Klein.
I'm allowed on the main feed.
You all, I wanted to get this out because so much happened in the Diddy trial on Friday and today. So don't forget, True Crime Rundown is just going to be a mini-sode, but I do have an official statement from a one Blue Eyes. Hi, DBs. By the way, I haven't read this yet. I just asked him to send this.
I can't wait.
Hi, DBs. I'm so sorry I'm not there right now to bring the headline. I have something called ADHD. Have you ever heard of it? Probably not. It's something entirely new. Anyway, I was in such a hurry packing from New Orleans that I left my recording equipment back in LA. I thought maybe I could record on my phone, but I think you've all been through enough and you don't need to hear me talking in what sounds like a wind tunnel. I'll be back on the next episode, and I love that you're all enjoying this new series. Just remember one very important thing. Okay, no. He says, Daddy loves his girls so much. And then he wrote,
no.
Please say this in a daddy voice, Ellen, or I'll call your ex-husband and tell him you miss him.
He's out of control with the daddy voice. You know what? That's what this recording is about. He doesn't know, but we just needed to get together and really just put an end to it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. There's one more bit. I recognize that Ellen is the light of my life and she carries this show. She is a shining star and I love her till my dying day. And I'm leaving her all my worldly possessions.
Aww. That's so sweet.
Oh, sorry. There's one more thing. It says, tell Harris she's fired.
Great. That's a wrap. All right. They do this bit where they fire me all the time, and every time my answer is like, fantastic. Today?
Now? I could go.
Am I good?
Yeah. We are here with a True Crime Rundown. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious. I texted Harris like 6 minutes ago. Where are you with the case? Not today, but how closely have you been following? Tell me about your history with it, other than seeing my Whitney live show like 12 times.
Okay, so the Diddy case. I am not currently up to date, really. So I followed it like when I was in the madness with you on your live show. I felt like I knew more about him than myself, and I probably still do.
Same.
But in terms of like the current trial, I actually don't know that much. So I am the listener's ears and eyes and mouth on this.
That's kind of why I wanted to do this rundown, because I do understand the reasons for it being televised. My justice brain and my emotional brain gets it, because the idea of those victims testifying in front of millions of people just terrifies me in terms of actually getting to the truth. But my nosy Nelly side wants to be like, what are his reactions? I want to see his face, even if I just had a camera on his face. So I do think it is easier to disconnect from this trial because everything we're getting are from inside sources who are inside the courtroom, which they're doing an amazing job. But it's just so much easier to like sit and throw on a testimony of somebody while you're in the kitchen cooking, which is, by the way, where you should be now, Harris. Why are you out of the kitchen?
Joey let me out just for this recording. Then he said I had to go back.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And then where are you with the Karen Reed trial?
That one I'm following more closely.
Okay.
And so I went down a rabbit hole right before this recording and I have thoughts.
I can't wait. Let me lay down the Diddy stuff because the Karen Reed, I feel, will be more of a conversation. And this is just going to be a lecture for you.
Love
Harris.
It.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'll sit back.
A lot happened. So I'm just going to back up just a little bit to Cassie Ventura. Cassie spent 4 days on the witness stand and she concluded her testimony on Friday. Now, remember, she's 8 months pregnant. She went with a big old baby bump. For those of you who didn't catch our last episode, go back and listen to it. Cassie was in a relationship with Diddy for over a decade. On the episode, I said they met in 2007 and broke up in 2008. I, of course, meant 2018. Again, your job to decipher my words. I can't do everything.
Above my pay grade.
Yeah. Just going back, Cassie is the one who spoke out back in November of 2023. She filed that sexual abuse lawsuit before we saw that video. And something I talked about on the Moms and Mysteries podcast, which if you didn't catch that, I do a whole Diddy 101 for you there. But that was filed before we all had eyes on that video. What we talked about on the episode was that no one really did anything till we saw it live on our phones,
yep.
Which, you know, why would that be any different?
Exactly.
She spoke in that lawsuit that he frequently beat and raped her. How many times can people use the word vehemently?
I know.
Find another word. No, this is not true. It's like with anything. When one thing happens to someone, okay, two things happens, 4 people start saying, we're in the dozens of people telling the same story. So I'm thinking we need to find a different word than vehemently.
Right. It probably hasn't been invented yet. We'll get there.
Do you have one, Harris, if you just want to throw it?
I don't know words.
Oh, great. Yeah. This is going great. So after the video was posted to the world, if you all recall, he settled 24 hours later. Do you remember that they didn't disclose what that settlement fee was?
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. So we found out this week in the trial. And it was $20 million. What do you think of someone saying,
what?
Well, if you have nothing to hide, why would you fork over $20 million? Do you think that holds any weight?
That's an interesting one because it depends. Do you know what his net worth is?
Over a billion. Because there's 5 entertainers that are worth over $1 billion. Jay-Z, Paul McCartney, Taylor Swift, Rihanna, and Diddy.
Wow. See, I would not have put him anywhere close to the top 5. That actually shocks me.
You have to think about his clothing line, you know, like Rihanna's Fenty, all those things. Like, yeah.
True. Yeah. I mean, that's hard because to put yourself in the mind of a billionaire, I mean, that's quarters to them, not to me.
Considering it was alleged that he offered someone $1 million to kill Tupac. By the way, when it comes out that he killed Tupac and Biggie, I need to find whatever podcast I said that on.
I feel like I've said it a few times.
I feel like you should be in hiding.
Like,
I feel like you've said it way too many times, actually.
Like, what's that behind you? It's etched into the wall behind you.
Every time I don't answer the phone, Thomas texts me, did Diddy get you?
I was thinking about this before this. I was like, do I want to be on this recording with her?
There are so many fish that are much bigger. Melissa in the chat is saying, was it at a live show? I feel like I should stop saying that just for my own personal safety. Neither here nor there. But it was an emotional 4 days with Cassie on the stand. But she told us a lot. Now, remember, the reason that Cassie is on the stand is they're trying to establish that she was not a willing participant in these freak-offs. Because What the defense did was say, look at these loving messages. You seem enthusiastic about participating. More on that later. But the freak-offs are at the height of all of this trafficking stuff. And Cassie is the first line of defense in terms of getting all of this information. So I just wanted to go over a couple of the highlights. How are you doing, Harris? Do you have questions? How is the chat?
The chat is good. The chat was asking, but why? So I just want to go back to that. I think that's about the settlement. Oh, why did he kill Tupac and Biggie?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Tupac was Biggie's biggest rival. You know, it was the whole East Coast, West Coast thing. Tupac was dating. It wasn't Jada Pinkett Smith. It was someone else. It was just literally drama. And then Biggie's stuff was all financial. I could do a whole separate podcast. Biggie took Faith off of his will and left everything to his son, Christopher. It was a thing. Biggie knew that he had a target on his back. More on that later. And yes, Amy, I am on several lists. Cassie had testified that initially she participated in these freak-offs, which, may I remind you, could last anywhere between a day to 4 days. They were drug-fueled orgies, sex, but whatever you want to call them. And she said she did it to please Combs and to maintain their relationship. On a smaller scale, we've all done things that we didn't want to do for a partner. Even if you're like, yes, I'll go to the Mets game with you every weekend and you can't stand baseball.
I pretended I liked to listen to him play banjo one time.
How was he at the banjo?
He was good. This was my past relationship. It lasted 5 years. I listened to the banjo for 5 straight years because I was in too deep.
That's it. You can't go back.
No.
3 years in and be like, okay, funny story. I don't know how to start this. Remember when I said I liked the banjo? Yeah, it's the same thing. On Friday, she really broke down on the stand when she was talking about the freak-offs. She was just saying that she felt worthless. She's quoted as saying she felt like dirt. She said she felt like nothing. And then, of course, they said, why didn't you tell anyone? Why didn't you do this? We all know we hate that question.
Yeah.
She said she was worried for her safety. And she was also worried for her career. We all have to put into perspective how wealthy, powerful, and connected Diddy is because she was a rising star. He met her when she was a teenager. They didn't get into a relationship, allegedly, till they were 19. This was her boyfriend. And she testified she loved him. She wanted to keep him. She didn't want to upset him. She also was terrified of the blackmail because Diddy had told her time and time again that he was going to release video footage of the sex abuse marathons if she didn't comply. She also was tasked with finding male sex workers on places like Craigslist, or there was a website, Cowboys for Angels. Do you remember we did that one episode with the guy that was the male escort and they were doing that synthetic weed and he murdered that girl because he thought she would, that was that website.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Diddy had to approve the escort. You know, she went into great detail of the demeaning and demoralizing things that he made her do. And I do want to say that I truly, from the bottom of my soul, do not care what any of you people do behind closed doors. I don't care. But there was things like he made a sex worker urinate in her mouth. He would instruct where for him to ejaculate on her. While some people might be like, hey, I'm into that. She was not.
Right.
That's it. She didn't want to do it. And after a while, she had said, hey, you know those things you make me do? I don't like it. And then she was, you know, forced to do it. It was all really emotional. It was graphic at times. And then she spoke about the physical abuse, which other people later have also talked about. I want to read you her statement that she said outside the courthouse once she was done testifying. This is a direct quote. This week has been extremely challenging, but also remarkably empowering and healing for me. I hope that my testimony has given strength and a voice to other survivors and can help others who have suffered to speak up and also heal from the abuse and fear. For me, the more I heal, the more I can remember. Oof. And the more I can remember, the more I will never forget. I want to thank my family and my advocates for their unwavering support, and I'm grateful for all the kindness and encouragement we have received. A statement was also read by her husband, Alex Fine. Did you hear that one?
I have not, no.
You did not break her spirit. Oh, God. Oh, this is the one that's going to get me.
Oh, no.
You did not break her spirit, nor her smile that lights up every room. We're going to forgive him for that one. You did not break the soul of a mother who gives the best hugs and plays the silliest little games with our girls. You did not break the woman who has made me a better man.
Both of those statements are incredible. And to be able to do that after going through this.
Yeah.
And just being so emotionally drained. That's.
Yeah.
I have chills. That's unbelievable.
While 8 months.
Right. Yeah. On top of being 8 months. That's unbelievable.
The last couple things from her testimony I want to point out was the prosecution finished by asking her a couple things. Basically, why did you decide to testify? And she said, quote, I can't carry this anymore. I can't carry the shame or the guilt. I'm here to do the right thing. In that line of questioning, they talked about when she had suicidal ideation in 2023. She was in the middle of having some traumatic flashbacks. I think after the lawsuit and everything, it probably was opening up more memories for her. And she was having flashbacks. She actually turned to her husband. They were home with their 2 children, and she just said, you can do this without me. You don't need me. And she attempted to run out of her house.
Oh, no.
She shortly thereafter entered trauma therapy rehab. It's wow. Like I was saying at the beginning, there are reasons that I am very glad that we're not seeing these victim testimonies. And I said this in the last episode. So I'm like shaking right now. I don't know, that hit me, but the reason that Diddy is facing the consequences of 3 decades worth of dangerous, abusive, toxic behavior is because of Cassie Ventura, and her bravery cannot be overstated. More people came out because of her. And it's sort of like what she said in the statement, the validation that she's giving to so many survivors whose stories still remain in silence and in fear. And we talk about this all the time on the podcast. Harris, have you ever listened to the podcast?
Once or twice.
Which one's your favorite?
From August.
Yeah, that was a good one. We talk about how intimate partner violence is achieved all the time. Manipulation, power, coercion. But then you're taking someone as powerful, as wealthy, as connected as Diddy. It was really clear in her testimony, which I hope opened the eyes of other people, that women and men who stay in abusive situations aren't consenting to their own abuse. They're trapped.
Yes.
And I think that if Cassie could help one person understand that, aside from the survivors feeling validated, but
yes,
that people are trapped in cycles of coercion, manipulation, and fear. That was the thing she really got across to the jury, was that she was fearful for her life. You know, this began when she was 19. She had signed to his label. She was under his professional, personal, and financial control, and that power imbalance. How could she speak out? How could she get out?
And to who?
Yeah.
I mean, this went on for 3 decades. The onus was on this one person. Who do you tell? At that point, that's hard.
They all fear retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of fear is paralyzing.
Exactly.
And we always talk about the cycles of abuse. Of course, it can vary, but it's predictable. Lather, rinse, repeat. She did something that I think she brought up, which was very important, is that victims can oftentimes be conditioned to normalize and minimize the behavior of the abuse. I'm going to tell you about another testimony that really reflects that. I can't reiterate enough just how raw and unwavering she was, because she is disrupting that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The cycle of abuse counts on people being silent, and it counts on secrecy. So her willingness to tell her story, I mean, especially something as high profile as this, it's profoundly impactful. It also demonstrates that abuse can live in these glamorous lifestyles of private jets and homes all over the world. You know, she had a very public relationship, just that all victims need to be heard, no matter how long it takes them to speak out. I think that her speaking out is a personal act of her own survival. I think we have a reckoning coming just in terms of people dealing with abuse and power. I think she not only shared her story, but she really opened a door for a different kind of justice, especially with someone as big as Diddy. And people need to recognize what she has done for victims everywhere. I think this is a real pivotal moment in everything we know about holding abusers, powerful, wealthy men accountable. What are your thoughts, Harris?
I'm glad that you said that about the fact that she's breaking the cycle, because it's been hard for me to keep up with this trial because it's so sad to me. Like, I have such a hard time on cases like this that went on for years and years and years and nothing happened. I have a really, really, really hard time watching and listening to that. I just want to scream. I'm sure everyone does, but you're right. There's some sort of, she is breaking the cycle. She's making change and there is a reckoning coming. And that's the part that makes me able to dive into this. That's the only part that makes it tolerable to even listen to. So that's a great point.
Whatever she wants to share about her life, which I'm sure, to your point, those 4 days have been exhausting. I'll bet she sleeps until the baby's born.
Absolutely. And I hope she does.
Yeah, I hope she does too. Real quickly, the government called some other witnesses. I'll go over just a couple things. So former Dandity Kane member Dawn Richard took the stand today. Or did she start on Friday? No, she started last week. She told us last week about him attacking her with the skillet. He was making eggs.
Right.
Did you hear about that?
I did. Yeah.
And so today, Dawn continued and said that she, quote, frequently saw Diddy assaulting her, punch, choke, drag, slap. She was not holding back. Dawn actually testified that Diddy's security staff witnessed it all. She said they didn't do a thing.
Are they or have they been called, the security staff?
They are.
They are.
They will be, including like his former chef. That's my point of this whole trial.
Got it.
Once Diddy goes down, I want a payroll list. Way too many people co-signed this behavior. I find it hard to believe that anyone close to him did not know exactly what was going on. And that's kind of what Dawn Richard said. The defense tried to undermine her credibility by pointing out just stupid inconsistencies. I would be the worst, what do you call it? Person, a person on the stand. Witness, thank you. I would be like, oh my God, can I go back up there? I have another thing. I forgot another thing.
I mean, we would be showing up at 3 a.m. being like, we have one more. But also, the words come out much faster than my brain moves. So I say things and then I say a complete opposite thing like 30 seconds later. That's just how people speak. I mean, you're never going to be 100% accurate.
You gave 8 testimonies and on the fourth one, on question 16, you failed. She's like, yeah, I forgot to say that part.
Okay. I am a human.
Dawn sued Combs last year for assault and imprisoning her and threatening her life. And they said, right, but after you guys had a falling out, you went back to work with him. And she's like, yeah, I needed money. I had to work. And they were like, so you chose to put yourself in an abusive environment. Again, it's the control.
Yeah, it's a control. And financial is a massive control. I mean, there are jobs all over the country where people don't want to be at those jobs. Those aren't in good conditions.
Yeah.
Don't know anyone. It's just like, it's not personal experience. It's just.
So you don't know anyone.
I've never met anyone.
Just say what I'm writing in the chat.
Okay. Harris Lane, love my job. I love Joey. I love Ellen.
All right, let me get on. This is a mini-sode, Harris. Another testimony that I thought was very important was Cassie Ventura's former best friend, former,
okay,
of 17 years. I'll get to why she's a former in a minute. She essentially weighed in on how awful it was. And she had said so many times, you need to get out, encouraged her to get out. But most of the time she just said she couldn't leave. This was her livelihood. But here are a couple things she said. This is direct from her testimony. This is from the government. How did Mr. Combs act? This is from Carrie. He would yell at Cassie. She lost her confidence big time, lost her spark. Did Mr. Combs talk down to Cassie? Yes. About her looks, who she talked to. Did he contact you for her? She said yes, a lot. Sometimes he would call 50 times in a row. Would others call for you? Yes. Christina Quorum, we'll talk about her on another episode. And then this is the part that's really important. Did you witness assaults? Carrie says yes. First in the Hollywood Hills, one of his security guards was there. What did Mr. Combs do to Cassie? He kicked her. What did she do? Nothing. I told Ruben, a security guard, to do something he indicated he wouldn't. Then what? We left the house and Cassie and I were hiding by someone's front steps. They were in Jamaica. I saw him drag her by her hair. I ran back to get my purse and phone so we could leave. And then they ask, what did you see next? Carrie Morgan says, I thought she was knocked out, but then she got up and we ran to a wooded area. There were two golf carts in the driveway and I got in one and Sean got in the other because Cassie ran into the woods. Did you find her? Yes. Then I hid with her in a ditch and we were whispering. This obviously is a long testimony. The other part I wanted to read for you was, did Mr. Combs ever assault you? Carrie Morgan says, yes. He hit me with a wood coat hanger and choked me. Where did the hanger hit you? Behind my right ear. And this was all because he wanted Carrie to tell him if Cassie was cheating on him. They said, who did you speak to about it? Ryan, Sean's old assistant. What did he do? Nothing. I haven't spoken to Cassie since. After Diddy assaulted her, Diddy made Cassie go back to Carrie. He gave her $30,000 to sign an NDA. And she did. And she never talked to Cassie again.
Oh.
All over Sean. He forced her to make her sign the NDA. And she was just like, I can't do this. Isn't that sad?
Wow. That is so upsetting.
And I thought that was very telling.
That is chilling.
I'll talk about the rest of that with Joey because I do want to get to the Karen Reed of it all. So that's all for the Diddy updates. We're in the fifth week of the Karen Reed trial. This was an entertaining day.
I'm bursting to talk about this.
Okay.
And I just want to say I had my first ever day of jury duty today, so I am an expert.
Okay, what are you an expert in, Harris?
Juries.
Yeah, jury stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we call them CVs here? I thought that was a British thing.
Some people do. I never really understood why. I'm a resume person.
They kept saying CV, and I had only heard that with English people. Let me just go over the boring people before we get to the fun stuff. Nicholas Bradford, who was a DNA expert, came on the stand today and said that there was touch DNA of John's and two other people on the taillight. Cool, they lived together. The other two profiles were not Proctor and not Buchanan, but he didn't test for anyone else. No Albert, Brian, or Kevin, no Higgins. But Nick Bradford was discussing various samples that they examined. The taillight included, plus a hair sample. And they basically were like, yeah, John's DNA was there. Then they said the hair sample wasn't enough DNA for a profile. And then they called Carl Miyasaku, another analyst from another company, as a substitute witness because the first witness was unavailable. And he was fighting with himself about the mitochondrial DNA in the hair sample, blah, 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 whatever.
It doesn't tell us anything.
It's all pointless. Let's get to Shannon Burgess.
Where to begin?
Okay, so for those of you that need an update, Shannon works for an accident reconstruction and biochemicals and digital forensics company called Aperture. Burgess specializes in the analysis of digital forensic from vehicles and cell phones. And I specialize in law.
You are an attorney.
And you specialize in being in a jury. Because why, Harris?
First of all, I have as much experience being in a jury as this man should have had in the courtroom. He had on his LinkedIn profile that he had been actively pursuing his degree for 17 years. Well, first he lied about it, right?
Right. His LinkedIn profile previously linked to Aperture's website. And Aperture's website was like, oh no, he's got a degree. And it's a public website. It said he had a bachelor in science, which he does not.
No, he does not. It's a full lie.
A scientist without a science degree. How long can this bullshit go on?
I have been actively pursuing being normal for 17 years. Do you think I can claim I'm normal?
He does not have a degree. And he was like, oh, I don't know why. It was probably a butt dial. He probably accidentally butt dialed bachelor's degree. That happened.
It happens all, you know, I'm always on LinkedIn on my phone, yeah. The mobile app, and just constantly buried in it. And I do, I always accidentally say I'm the CEO of a very important company. It happens every day. I'm like, no, I'm not actually the CEO.
I'm like, oh my God, did my butt do that? Oh my God, my butt is so active. I gotta say, Alessi is such a fucking king because he's like, if I did the math correctly, you've been pursuing a degree for about 17 years.
That's right.
There's something about Alessi throwing shade that gets me so much more excited because Alan Jackson is fantastic at what he does, but he's much more witty with the tongue. He's kind of throwing the finger guns and everything. And Alessi's kind of like a little bit more of a nerd. So when Alessi comes up with a shady statement, I love a nerd.
I do too. I love a nerd. I have a question about this because I feel like you will know. What is the point in bringing in someone as your expert like this person? Could they just literally not find anyone else?
Are you asking why the Commonwealth would put someone up?
Yes. Why would the prosecution rely on something this important? Like what he was supposed to be talking about was wild for their case. Would you not vet them?
That is a great question because they had to have known that they were going to delve into his understanding of scientific principles.
Right.
They're gonna check all that stuff. Another thing that they did was they jumped into asking questions about potential bias. Forensic analysis, there's no bias. You're just reporting on the science. I cannot wrap my head around why they would take a chance with this, snapshot, crackpot, applejack, I don't know, with this defense team. I have no idea why they would do that. Because remember, they just brought this witness to Bev on Friday. And Bev was like, I'll allow it. The defense was fighting against it. And I was like, actually, guys, I think this guy was like for you in the end.
And the prosecution knew because Brennan listed his credentials and avoided any reference to his academic background.
Oh, they just went like credential forward. They didn't say, and he.
Yeah, but have completely avoided everything about academics, which tells me they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Which then tells me, again, goes back to the question, which is why risk it with this expert? It makes me feel like they have no one else.
I mean, that woman who was trying to explain Faraday bags and timestamps, talking about a server bringing over pizza for some people and burgers for the other. What was her name?
I can't remember.
Barry says it's the audacity.
Truly. Also, by the way, imagine going, pretending you're an expert at something. I, even when I'm good at something, you know this about me, I'm like, I'm actually terrible. I can't, you know what? Yeah. Like, I don't know why you let me be on site here. I know that the show went well, but it's weird that you let me do this. So like, I will pay you and we should probably never talk again. And again, I know it went well, but like, it wasn't because of me. It was just by chance. So like, I should leave.
That's why we're friends. Because I'm like, I don't know why anyone listens to me. Someone come in my house and take my microphones. At this point, I'm insufferable. My microphones should be taken. And there should be a picture of me like at Best Buy's everywhere. And they're like, do not sell this woman a microphone. I get it.
Yep.
Keely wrote, the way the prosecution's been sending up Tammy from next door who once hit a car. So now she's an accident recreation specialist. I don't have an answer. It had to be an act of desperation. Now, listen, I'm not that smart, but I feel like if I were the prosecution, I'd be like, no, they'll be on that. You know what people are capable of. They have been doing this for 5 weeks and then all these years since 2022. They're not going to miss a fucking beat. You mean to tell me you are going to put a scientific science guy talking about science with no degree? Now, let me just say, you don't need a degree to be an expert on something.
Right.
I am an expert on so many things, depending on the week. A couple months ago, it was kangaroos. I don't have a kangaroo degree, but bitch, I know some kangaroo facts. I'm not saying that, but it's the baseline. It's the baseline of what we need is a degree.
Also, there are millions of people in this country. You couldn't find one person to back your claims, which again makes me feel like they don't really have anything. The Big Bang Theory TV show existed. Just walk on set and pull a science person out of it. I don't understand.
He's like, no, I just played a science guy. They're like, you know the words.
It's fine.
It's fine. You know the words. When he was talking, I don't actually care what you're saying. He was talking about modules that track different data, and he found something that the former investigator didn't. Now, mind you, he has never testified on this case. He was talking about a Lexus and an internal clock and the GPS and the Waze application. All I'm hearing is the teacher from Peanuts,
mm-hmm.
because you're a liar. You're a liar.
100%.
Even if you didn't have a degree and you were like, but like, I have Googled the shit out of this, you're a liar. You're a lying liar,
mm-hmm.
fraudster, liar.
And he deleted his LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly, Vicky. She says it's about corruption every possible way. Before we sign off on this mini-sode, what are your thoughts about the courtroom players?
Ooh, see, that's hard because I am not as in it as you are. I'm like reading.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't hyperfixate on anything. Go on.
No, you've never hyperfixated on anything. Not kangaroos once. I don't know why we're talking about that. I've been just reading the updates. So I have not been as in the weeds on it. However, this Shannon thing has really spurred my interest. So I am not going to bed tonight. So I will be back to you with an answer because I will be an expert by morning.
I actually believe you.
Because I'm not a liar.
I feel like we should re-record this tomorrow. Let me also say this. You all, Harris and I are so similar. It's actually terrifying. You know this about me. When I was doing Robbie and Ellen, the reason I would research so much and I would overdo it and my research packets were so extra was because I never wanted to get caught in a situation where I didn't know the answer. That's terrifying to me. Sometimes I'll forget or I'll forget, but if I read something and I learn something, it's in here. The gray matter, she's sticky. To get up on the stand in front of could you imagine being like, I'm gonna wing this one. You guys, I'm gonna wing it. I'm gonna see where it, meet me after. Yeah? PJ O'Houlihan? Sounds great.
I have never winged anything in my entire life. This recording is the closest I've come to winging anything because I have no notice. And I've been sweating the entire time.
Wait, this was the best thing. Okay, then we'll sign off, I promise. He was like, looking at his resume. He was like, I'm like, bitch, you don't need that long to look at your resume and tell them that you're like, oh, it does. That's...
Wait, it's that trick like where someone asks you a question and you don't know the answer to it yet, so you just slowly, what did I do?
So
yesterday?
When I got
what? It's such a good
LinkedIn.
Question.
LinkedIn. I'm sorry, what was the question? It was so embarrassing. He was so red. I honestly think that we should watch his entire testimony in full and just have our DBs react to it. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, before I let you go, you have to come back, Harris. You've
yes.
been a very good guest on our mini-sode. God.
I was scared that you were going to lose my number and we wouldn't ever talk again after this. So,
how do you think this case is going to pan out? Just Harris speaks the truth.
I think it's going to be not guilty. I don't think that there's ever going to be enough. And again, I'm just going to go back to the same question. If there was enough, you would have someone that wasn't just on the curb playing with a calculator, TI-83 outside and getting them in as your witness.
What did you collect those samples in? I had an empty lipstick and I scooped it into the bottom. You know how the lipstick, it's like empty and there's spots. I just scooped it.
Did you wear gloves? Well, I had the fingerless because I like to text.
I had to text.
It's fine.
And it was cold. What? Oh, his touch DNA was on the car that was at his house?
Wild.
I can't.
Wild. What do you think? Hold on. I want to know what you think really fast.
What I want, Ben, and what I think will happen are two different things. I do think she will be found not guilty. And I think it's just going to be quiet. What I want to happen is every single person who perjured themselves to be charged, including fucking Bev, because she is a disgrace. She is an absolute embarrassment to the robe. I can't remember his name. It's on the tip of my tongue. I see his face. The judge in the Murdoch case.
I cannot remember his name either.
Someone give it to me in the chat. He was so fair. He was so compassionate. He was a judge. This woman is a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fucking townie in a robe. It's agreed. Embarrassing.
Totally agree. And as a professional juror, I take that seriously.
Clifton Newman. Thank you, Keely and Karen in the chat. He was very awesome. Anyway, thank you all for joining us on True Crime Rundown. Joey will be back at the end of the week. Harris, you fired. Just from this, not from being our producer.
Got it.
We're writing our live show this weekend, y'all, so grab tickets. But until next time, I love you, Harris!
I love you, too!
I love you, no bitches! Wait, now you have to do Joey's bye!
Bye! And I'm a juror.
Wait, what did you say?
I'm a juror.
You have to do it swaggle. I'm a juror.
Bye! I'm a juror. My voice can't move that way.